Welcome to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio, a show to help you get from where you are to where you truly want to be. Now here's your host of Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen, Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hope you are all having a magnificent day. This is Jennifer Grace, Getting Unstuck and Making Shift Happen. And I am super excited about today's topic because it's all about love. And as you know, I've been doing lots of really cool webinars and retreats at the Standard Hotel, all about love, manifesting new love, taking your relationship to the next level, shifting from, you know, a regular relationship to spiritual partnership and what all that looks like. So in the spirit of that, I decided to invite onto my show a fabulous woman. She is the author of the book, One Woman, Three Men. Her name is Pauline Middleton, and she looks at dating consciously. Today's show, we're going to be diving into her book, Finding the Humor, as well as bringing out the highest consciousness to modern love and sex. And she has also published two other books. This is her first in the American market, but it was a handbook of love called Seven Roads to Love, which is also available in ebook. And I'm so excited to have her on the show. Hi, welcome.
Thank you, Jennifer, and hello to you. Thanks
hello
for having
to
me.
You. And I'm so excited and tickled that I'm going to get to meet you in person in Copenhagen. I will be there in a couple of weeks at the end of June.
Oh, no, and I'll be happy to take you around and, you know, show you the town.
I love it. It's always cool to hang out with the locals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you get to see the city in a different manner, you know, than when you have to find your own way around.
Exactly. So, you know, as you heard, this has been a topic that I've really been diving into and looking at other ways of shifting our relationships, you know, into a more conscious way of being. And I'm really interested in really just hearing your take on that. You know, you talk about modern love. You know, how would you define modern love?
To me, that is not taking anything for granted.
Yeah.
It's about defining, you know, yourself. What do you think is important in a relationship or in a love life?
Yeah.
Because actually, love is an area that's filled with expectations. You know, some of them are from culture, some are from your family, some are from friends, and some of them, you know, just kind of come from novels and films and so on. The consequence of that is that, you know, many people are actually having many expectations that they haven't defined in concrete terms, but their mind is still measuring their love life up against these expectations. So many people, I the way I see it, are quite unhappy about love where they didn't need to be.
Right. Because they had this fantasy, this picture that was painted of what it was supposed to be like, you know, riding off into the sunset type of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, it's only when you ride off that things are actually starting to pose to, you know, the challenges are presenting themselves.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I teach a course that comes from Stanford University. It's a master's degree course in transformation. And lesson one is letting go of expectations. And that mm-hmm. really sets us up for disappointment, especially about love. And I think such a powerful tool is to whether you're going into dating, you know, letting go of the expectations of that first date, as well as the expectations of what this fantasy is supposed to be like, you know, this long-term relationship. And that is, it's a really powerful tool to live without expectation, you know, have intention, but let go of the expectation part of it all.
Yeah, also because the expectation most of the time will both deal with expectations towards the other person's actions and emotions and attitudes, and also your own.
Yes.
You know, so you can actually be enveloped into a kind of confusing veil of not being able to prioritize what is actually important for you.
Right, right. And I think, you know, a lot of us wear masks in the beginning of relationships. You know, we put forward our best selves. And, you know, over time, we feel more comfortable. We take the mask off. And sometimes when our partner takes the mask off and they're being their authentic self, we're like, well, where's the person that I met? You know, and I think it's so important to be genuine in the beginning of relationship, you know, really be you and who you are without putting on a show so that, yeah, you know, we're just being honest and in integrity, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And that was actually, you know, what I used the model with the one woman, three men for.
Yes, let's talk about that.
I didn't realize
it
until
afterwards.
One woman,
three men. So we know you're from Europe, so everybody probably is thinking, okay, so she shacked up with three guys at the same time. Tell us about,
I didn't,
what does that mean?
Well, yeah. A model that I developed after my own love life was in ruins, you know, after a divorce and a guy who'd been cheating on me and so on. Then I was like, okay, I need to do something different, because if I continue to do what I have so far, I may very likely end up in the same bad situation. So I need to change my actions.
Yes.
And then I tried to define, okay, what is important in a relationship for me? And I found there were 26 areas that were important. But, you know, that's quite a lot of areas to, when you go dating, you can't look for a guy to fulfill 26 areas. That's a little too much.
And when you say areas, is that like qualities, like he's funny and charismatic and powerful, financially secure? Is that what you mean by 26 areas, or how would you define that?
No, it was more things I like to do with him. You know, like making love, having a long talk, going traveling, going out to eat, asking him to go to the hardware store and he'll bring back the right items, and, you know, different things like that.
Yes.
And then I also defined, you know, his character trait, the character trait that I was looking for. And, you know, that was having humor and having enough money.
Yeah.
being kind, being considerate, you know, there were a number of areas as well. But I knew when I wanted to go dating, I couldn't look for all that many areas, because it just doesn't match up. You know, nobody could live up to that.
Right.
And if a guy had done the same with me, I could not either live up to 26 areas he had maybe identified.
Yes.
So, you know, I decided to prioritize in them. And then I found that there were three of the areas that were most important for me. And one was a guy that liked to talk, you know, about politics, about life, about love. And I love, you know, talking back and forth about this and that, and maybe having a talk. And then 3 days later, you revert to something that he said or that I say, you know, having good talks. I like that.
Yes.
And then I also like to have a good love life. And then I had to ask myself, okay, well, fine, but what is a good love life to me? And that was like, I say, well, good sex at regular intervals. Well, how much is regular, you know? And then I ended up saying, okay, if I say sex every day, once a day, that will make me a little feel slutty. And I didn't want that.
Yes.
But if I say once a week, that's not really correct as well. So I said 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
And you know, I wanted a guy who was curious about sex, because some guys, it's just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and that's not very interesting.
Yes.
So I wanted him to be more, you know, passionate and interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lived in an old house, so I also needed a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was sitting looking at these 3 areas, I said to myself, okay, how about I separate my needs? I've done that now. How about I also then look for 3 men? A guy to fulfill each area.
Right.
And then I got that idea. I said, okay, I'll do that. So I started, I put up a profile on a dating site saying I'm looking for 3 guys, a guy to talk to, a lover, and a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then the answers started pouring in.
And they were up for it.
So,
they're like, okay, I'll be that one guy. Like, you were being honest and clear that you were looking to date 3 separate men.
Yeah, exactly. And they were, a lot of men responded, hey, woman, fun idea, you're really lucky because I'm a 3-in-1.
Yes.
And I said, nah, you know, you need to choose one of the roles in order for us to go on a date.
Yep.
And he was like, wow, you're a tough cookie. And I said, yeah. And actually that proved to be a really good, tool to use to qualify these men. Because some of them got a little obnoxious when they had to choose one role. And, of course, they were discarded from, you know, potential dating lists.
Others
said, okay, I need a little time to think. Or others started a dialogue with me. So it was a way to get them out of their shield and out of their, you know, looking nice guy and actually being who they were. And that was really good. So it got me some very interesting dates and much better dates than I had been on before, because we were able to talk about this funny model and why they chose what they chose and so on.
And were you doing this? Did the book come after, or were you doing this in an experiment to write the book?
No, the book came 5 years after or so, because I was dating like this for a year and a half. And I should say that I was only doing it every second week. Because every other week I was having my daughter, but every second week she was with her dad, because after the divorce. So, you know, I had time to myself and I could prioritize whether I wanted to be with one of these guys, or if one day I wanted to go out with a handyman in the afternoon and then have dinner with the talker and then spend the night with the lover. You know, I was free to choose whatever I felt like. And that was really nice.
You don't have to answer this question, but I am curious. Now, did you also make love with the handyman and the talker? Or they knew that was saved for the lover?
Well, you know, in the beginning, it's funny that you should ask, because in the beginning I was like, no, this is my model and it's three different areas, so I can identify where things go wrong and what I do and what he does and so on. But then after a month and a half, 2 months, something like that, I had a great evening with a talker. We had a bottle of wine and we were talking, and, you know, I just felt, oh, it would be wonderful to end this evening by making love.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, but would that be okay? I mean, I have the lover for that. And, you know, the talker, he wanted to, because definitely he was interested.
Of course.
But then I yes, of course. I decided, you know, to actually think about it. And then I figured, well, you know, I haven't promised exclusivity to the lover and he hasn't promised me exclusivity. Right. So I ended up saying, yeah, I have my sexual liberty in this model. So every now and then I would be having, you know, parallel sexual relationships with two men. At one point, even all three, but, you know, that got really complicated. So
right. Interesting. And this went on tell me.
Well, I would say also allowing myself actually to be a slut was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, there's this book called The Ethical Slut.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've read it, an American book.
And
that's very much about, you know, taking ownership to the total you. So that you can be a really nice girl, really considerate and really service-minded, but you can also be, you know, your full sexual self and actually be proud of it. And I was experimenting with that, with this model.
That's so interesting. And so this went on for a year and a half with the same three gentlemen?
No. Not with the same three, because like you were asking, you know, who did I have sex with? It turned out that all the guys who signed up for the model, they did it to eventually end in the bedroom.
Of course.
So, you know, with the handyman, he had made 3 or 4 tasks for me. We'd met 3 or 4 times. And then he would ask me, you know, hey, are we going to go to bed at some point? And I said, nope, because I wasn't attracted to him.
Right.
Then he said, well, then you're going to hang your own bookcases. And I said, okay, fine. And then I had to find a new handyman.
Right. You could always pay the handyman.
I could, you know. But this was, it was really interesting to have this dating experience, because sex was a constant possibility. And that created a different context, you know. It was not me living up to one guy's expectations. It was me asking three guys to live up to my expectations in order to actually me saying yes. So I changed the dynamics completely. And yes. that was very good for me and my self-esteem and my curiosity. You know, I could really play with that. And I'm also writing that quite a lot in the book at some different scenes. I'm including them in the book, you know, where I took total charge and others where I said, okay, I'll give up. I won't be in charge at all. You know, I could really kind of play the whole, the whole range of emotions. Yeah. And that was very interesting.
And then you wound up with one of them or somebody totally different? Because I know you're married now.
Yeah, but, you know, after a year and a half, the handyman that I was dating at that time and I, we fell in love.
The handyman.
And then he asked me, you know, to stop seeing the other guys. And I said, mm-hmm. sure. And then I was with the handyman for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
But at that point, he had to move to another part of the country, and I couldn't follow him and so on, and then we stopped seeing each other. And then I went back to my model. And then after another year dating three guys, I said, okay, now I'm going to stop dating, and I'm going to evaluate my experiences. What have I actually learned from this social experiment?
Yes.
You know, what has it given me? And then I found out that it had given me a number of things. The first thing was that I was no longer as big a romantic as I was before. I wasn't constructing romantic castles immediately when I met a guy. You know,
right.
I was making reality play a role in it. Like we were talking about before, when you say, you know, that we build, we show our best selves, and then
right.
we get all disappointed when reality hits us. I said, no, I want reality to be my partner from the beginning, both in the way I show me and in the way I see him. And the reason why I was trained in that with this model was that when you have three dates at the same time, you know, meeting with them and so on, there's simply not that much time to interpret his emotions or his behavior or sitting there waiting for a text message from him, because there were two others who were messaging. So, you know,
sure.
it was really a good tool to become less romantically drowned.
Yes.
So,
you know, it's interesting. I love the term happily ever now, being in the present moment, you know, and not futurizing relationships. And like
yes.
you said, if you're consumed on one person, waiting by the phone, waiting for the text, and, you know, going off into the fantasy, it actually robs you from getting to know them in the present moment, enjoying the stage that you're in the relationship. So I love that this model can also lend to present moment connections. And,
yes.
you know, I was, before I met my boyfriend, and we've been together for a year and a half, I was online dating. And I think online dating is wonderful. And it was interesting. I think that desperation that a lot of women have, I believe that this model that you're presenting, all that desperation goes out of the door. And instead of, you know, you just even posting, I'm looking for three men, right away you're setting up a challenge for them because they want to win. They want to be the best of
yeah,
the three
exactly.
men, you know? So you're
exactly.
totally turning the tables on these guys, number one, you know, and then they want to apply and what role are they going to get? And then they know you're being upfront that you're dating other men. So of course they're going to be vying for your attention. I mean, this is brilliant. Like seriously,
yeah.
I think this is the smartest online or regular dating thing that I have ever heard in my life. Like I can't wait to tell all of my girlfriends who are desperately dating online this awesome model. Like this is really,
yeah.
now
yeah.
how did you come up with this? Where were you when this creative idea struck you? Do you remember where you were?
Well, it was actually quite a long idea generation, you know,
mm-hmm.
where I was devastated in love because of my
yep.
divorce. And then I met this really nice guy and then he cheated on me and I was like, oh my.
Right.
But then I also looked around and saw how many people were struggling with love.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
said to myself, okay, I'm not even the only one. So maybe we could try and do things in a different manner. But at that point, I didn't know what I meant by that. You know, I was just saying, yeah, I want to do things in a different manner. And then I said, okay, well, I've never had a profile on an online dating site, so I'll try that. But then when I got in there and saw all these profiles and all these words and, you know, and I was like, maybe I could do it in a different manner. And then, you know, when you fill out a dating profile online, there are many questions you have to answer about
sure.
yourself. And also sexually, you know, like, and you're like, oh, but then I answer all of these things and I send it out into what? To who? You know, it's like, it's somewhat challenging the first couple of times you do it.
Sure.
And there, I think I felt like I wanted to take charge. And that's why I, you know, and then the model came to me when I was actually trying to upload my model, my profile. I was saying, oh, I should do this in a different manner. I should try to separate things into the three most important roles.
So those were your three most important roles. What are some other roles
yeah.
that you think people, if they want to try your model, you know, just giving ideas
well, they,
out there?
Yeah, in my book, I actually, you know, it's somewhat of a do-it-yourself guide.
Yes.
Because people can follow what they need to do in order to try this out. The most important thing is that you only identify three roles. You know, don't
okay.
go into five roles or something because you can't kind of keep your head straight around all those guys.
No.
And that you then define the three roles that are most important to you. Some
right.
people, it would be, you know, finding a guy who's into sports.
Right.
Or finding a guy with whom you can share a spiritual life. Or
yes.
finding a guy to go hiking with. Or, you know, a guy who loves cooking or, you know, some things that is makes you feel, oh, I love this area of life and
yes.
I want to share it with somebody. And in
yes.
that sense, you know, the model is very generous. I mean, it's areas for sharing. It's not something like, I want you to fulfill all my needs. No, this is an area I want to share with you. So,
except for the handyman.
yeah. Exactly. The interesting
fix
thing
my
is,
house
you know, when
for
I tell,
free, and I'm not going to have sex with you. That's a ballsy one. I love it.
I may be going to have sex with you. Let's
well,
see.
You wound up falling in love with the handyman. He won in the end.
Well, he did. Well, he won for a period of 2 years. Because then what actually
yeah.
happened, I didn't finish that story.
Yes, please.
What happened
finish.
Was that when I was evaluating my experiences, you know, I was also looking at my three profiles, saying, okay, are these profiles really what are the most important to me? And then I figured, well, yeah, the talking part, that is important.
Yeah.
But there was also another part, and that was, you know, I'm a writer, I like to do research, and every now and then I get completely... I dive into my book writing and then I'm quite distant for a while. And I needed a guy who could cope with that because not all men can, you know, some guys feel that you're leaving him, you know, mentally
yeah.
and emotionally and so on. So that was really important. And then the sex life, I still wanted a guy who was curious and considerate in terms of sex. Whereas the handyman, well, if it wasn't handy, we could always hire somebody to do that. So I figured, you know, those other three models, the sex and the talker, and then this guy with whose personality enjoys that I'm a writer, that was one I was looking for. And then I started dating to find one guy. And
right.
and then I was using, you know, my experiences to stay in reality, being the happily ever now moment.
Yep.
After one after another, and dating different guys. And you know, it was very nice to be there and be me instead
yes.
of being there.
And on
and
your
being,
terms,
you know,
you've took
yeah.
your power back from this whole female-male dichotomy that happens, you know, waiting for the phone call, waiting. And, you know, it's just we're in a state of waiting and you just really took action. You put out there your
yeah.
needs and your wants. You were very firm in what was okay and what wasn't okay. And all these guys showed up. Like, it's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that must have built up your self-esteem and confidence tremendously. You know, coming out of a divorce and a tough time. That's awesome. All righty. So we are going to take a little break here. And when we come back, we're going to start talking about men doing the same, dating three women. We'll be right back.
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost.
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision. You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected, would you feel scared, proud, relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free to be me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not so far away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. And before we dive into our show all about dating three different men to find the one, I wanted to let you all know that I have some awesome free masterclasses coming up, and you can always go to jennifergrace.com/free stuff and see what great different masterclasses I have. I've got some on creating a different money mindset. I've got some on manifesting new love. I've got something coming up also about getting unstuck. So definitely go to jennifergrace.com/free stuff and sign up for your free masterclass today. So, Pauline, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jennifer.
Okay. Fabulous. So, I think it's so just to kind of circle back where we were just talking, and then I want to talk about the guys, you know, should they use this model, right? Let's dive into that because we don't want to, you know, discriminate here. And I would be curious, I almost think men would be more up for it than women. What has your experience been with this? Have you had any guys try your system?
Well, you know, men have done it for centuries.
Yes, they have, but have they done it? I know, duh. Have they done it with integrity and clear communication that they're doing it?
Actually, I would say that poses a different challenge to men, because what I found, what I learned about men dating three men at the same time, was that many men, they are sneaking around the bush or beating around the bush.
Mm.
So they may be doing it, but they may not tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And they may not, actually stand by what their needs are. Because when you state it clearly, then you also need to realize whether it's going to be met or not.
Right.
So, you know, I met a number of guys who were not actually up for being honest and direct about it. And they didn't want to tell their friends that they were dating me, who had other guys, you know. So there were a number of different areas where I would say that some men at least would not really be dealing with this model in the way I think it was meant.
Right.
But then on the other hand, I also, I met a friend of mine when I was, when I'd just written my book. And he said, well, you know, I also had three women at some point in my life. And I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Do you want to write a book about it? And he had long dreamt about writing a novel. So he ended up writing a book called One Man, Three Women.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he defined the three roles was that he was looking for the sexy femme fatale for sex, the soulmate for sex,
yep,
and the young wild at heart for sex.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, he was more actually going out there. And that's what the response I've gotten from a number of men. They've said, well, you know, if I want something fixed, I call somebody, or I hire a cleaning lady, or I buy some pre-cooked meals, you know.
Right.
I wouldn't look for a partner for that. So
mm-hmm.
So for a guy, relationship centers around sex.
Got
which
it.
Which is not a big surprise, but, you know, it's
a
nice
surprise.
Kind of see it, to see it clearly.
And what if you have kids? You know, it's really interesting. I didn't even have my son meet my boyfriend until I think about 4 or 5 months into the relationship. Now, you at the time, how old was your daughter when you were starting this experiment?
Well, she was 11 when I was starting.
11. And did she ever meet any of them? How did that work with having a child?
Well,
without any judgment, not judging, I'm just curious.
I decided I wanted to kind of protect her. You know,
yes,
this was an experiment I was making, and it was a grown-up thing. So
yes,
I said, I only met with these guys when she was with her dad. So she didn't
right.
meet them.
Yes.
Except, of course, for the handyman that I was with for 2 years. You know, she did meet
oh,
him
yeah.
and develop a relationship with him.
Yep.
But then, of course, when the book came out, I was kind of, okay, now she's older. You know, she was 16 or so when the book came out. And I was like, oh, okay, well, how do I deal with that? And then
right.
I decided to say to her, well, this is I've written a book about grown-up issues. And I don't want you to read it, and I don't want you to watch any of the interviews that I'm in, or listen to the radio or TV or anything. You know, I don't want you to get involved in this book because you're
right.
not a grown-up yet. And then she said, okay, fine. And then I said, and if anybody asks you about the book, just say, well, you know, my mom has many crazy projects, and this is just one of them.
Perfect answer. I love that.
Yeah. And she used that a couple of times, and it worked. You know,
yeah,
so she was
absolutely. Do you
feel
happy like
with
this
it.
Is a model to, you know, many things are coming up. Getting to know your own dating relationship patterns, I think you can do a lot of introspection work. I think this
mm-hmm.
is great for building your self-esteem and confidence. It's great for having a place of power in relationship. You know, there's so many great things. Do you see this as a possible long-term way of being, or is this kind of a means to the ends, to finding the one?
Well, for me, it was a means to the end. You know,
yes.
The 10th date I was on when I started dating, there I met a guy and we fell in love and moved in together 4 months later. And a year later, we married. And
right.
That was great, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, if people want to live like this, fine. But for me, I think it is more a sort of, you know, it's something that helps you become the real you in relationships. That's what I see the model, the strong part of the model, you know. So and it's also, I think, easier for a lot of people to accept to do something as kind of, say, different than the regular love life.
Yes.
If you know that it's only for a period, you know, challenge yourself. Say, okay, I'll do this for a year. And then
right.
I'll see what happens.
And then see what happens.
And I mean, if you meet Mr. Right in the process, well, fine. You know, go ahead and kiss him.
Right. And in your book, which I'm so excited. Thank you. Your agent or publicist sent me a copy. So I'm going to be departing for Greece tomorrow. So that's what I'll be reading.
Oh, great.
Yes. I'm so excited to dive in. And my question is, in the book, had you also had other women do this experiment and then talk about their results, or is this primarily your experience?
No, it's primarily my experiences. And then I had, when the book came out in Denmark, you know, I was in all the medias, and then I was contacted by many people, both men and women, wanting to talk about love in different manners.
Right.
You know, it was people who had more than one partner at the same time. It was people who were maybe into some more, you know, daring areas of sexuality or whatever, you know, something that was not the normal missionary position with the same person over many, many years. And
right.
And then I found out that, oh my, there was really a big interest in talking about these things. And then I set up a love coaching company, and
nice.
I've been coaching people on love issues ever since.
Beautiful. And do you do group coaching or mostly one-on-one relationship? Tell me about your different ways of coaching.
Well, I do one-on-one and relationships, and then I do workshops. I do workshops for singles and workshops for couples.
Wonderful. And all in Copenhagen, or do you ever come to the States?
Yeah, well, I've just been to the States to do a book tour, and I hope to be
fabulous.
Coming back in the fall. And in the fall, if I come back, I will be doing some workshops as well, because people are asking me for it now.
Oh, online. Yeah, I would love to have you. I have a new thing at the Standard Hotel where I'm the resident life coach there. We have something called the Love Club. And we just launched it. We did a great couples retreat weekend. So I would love to do something for singles, like really based on this model with you. So are you going to be making it down to Miami?
Sure, I could do that. I could include that in the trip. That would be
wonderful.
I would
love that. I know my students would absolutely love this. There's so many. You know, Miami is a really interesting demographic. There's a lot more women than men. There's a lot of people that are very self-conscious and focused on, you know, the physical appearance down here. There's a lot of affluence and, you know, a lot of plastic surgery. And not saying this with any judgment, but it's a very, it can be a very surface town. And what I think this really lends to is this authenticity, you know, and just really, oh my gosh, I love this so much. I'm so excited to know about this. You know, I have so many students
well,
that struggle with love.
Yeah, I know. And you know, I found after I published my book that I needed to know something more also about polyamory and open relationships and so
on. Sure.
So I went out and, you know, met with people who were living like this and interviewed them and so on in order to also be able to actually advise people on some of those issues. And,
right,
and I find in the workshops, you know, people have a lot of curiosity about a number of areas. And then it's really interesting to fill them in.
Is that going to be your next book? Do you have a next book? Cooking?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think I'm going to do an actual handbook on the One Woman, Three Men
right,
model,
like a tool,
because
like
that's
a workbook.
What people are looking for. a workbook.
Yes, so that would be really good to choose your 26 areas, the different qualities that you're looking for in a partner, and even, you know, how they could make their profile and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and also, you know, what are other people thinking? Because that's a reaction I always get. Like, what is...
society of a woman dating three men. Yeah. I mean, it's very not, what is the word? It's not very customary. And, you know, you get looked at as, oh, you're a whore, or you're this or that. And, you know, although things are changing.
So that's also part of the workshop, you know, that is talking about that. And, you know, what I did was that I actually copied the men when I started dating like this. I didn't tell anybody. You know, I figured, okay, let me have some experience with this model before I need to tell people. Because I may want to stop it after a month or something, so why should I tell anybody? And then when I started telling people, you know, I got some very different reactions. You know, one very good close friend, she was like really appalled by my, your reputation is going to really be hurt after this and stop right now. Whereas another friend, she was like, this is so funny. Do you have any men in surplus? You know, send them my way. I wanna do that as well. So, you know, it's all the spectrum of reactions. But you don't have to tell people about it. It's all up to you.
Right. And was there jealousy that came up between the three men during this time?
Yes. There was. well, there was both jealousy. Actually, one guy that was quite amazing. You know, already when we were dialoguing online, before we'd been on a date, you know, he was, he really had some issues with jealousy. But he tried to convince me that, no, I don't have any issues and everything is fine. And I was like, well, you know, it seems like you're really not fine with it. He said, no, I want to meet you. I want to meet you. Everything is okay. And I said, but I don't want to meet you. And I never had a date with him because he couldn't deal with it. And then
I think it does really weed it out.
It does, yeah. And a couple of guys that I was dating, they had to leave, you know, at some point saying, you know, I can't deal with this because I'm constantly thinking about what you're doing with this other guy when I'm not there and, you know. So I need to leave. And then they check out. And, you know, that was fine. And I was also challenged at some point because I developed emotions for one of my lovers. And I was like, ooh, well, we don't have exclusivity. That's too bad because I would really like him just to be mine. So, you know, of course. But then I learned something about myself and jealousy, which was good.
And how did you meet? Now, you're not with the handyman now. You're married to. How did you meet your current husband through this type of dating, or was it random and outside of it all?
Well, it was actually through Facebook because I'd made a blog post about modern relationships and so on, and he disagreed with me on a number of issues, but he was very nice and considerate about his way of disagreeing. You know, so we had a good discussion. You know, sometimes I say, well, we actually, when we met, we started by arguing. And in a sense, it's a really good bulletproof thing to do, because if you can do that and still be friends and respect each other and even fall in love, well, then that's fine.
Right. So, you have a conscious communication, you know, than just discussing something without getting rude and blaming and shaming and criticizing and
Yeah, and you know, when I met him at a cafe, you know, because we were dialoguing on Facebook, and then a week later we met at a cafe, and then we sat there talking and discussing, and he was very frank about things, where he was living and how he was living and his relationship with women and so on, and I liked that. And then at some point I said to him, oh, it's so nice, you know, because you're not afraid of me. And then he looked at me and he laughed out loud. And I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, it doesn't even ring a bell that he should be afraid or scared or
intimidated.
You know,
I think but a lot of men were intimidated by that. And you know what probably happened was you had spent all this time being, you know, this upfront, authentic woman. And then you really embodied that and called in a partner that matched that same frequency.
Exactly. And that's what I've been thinking since. You know, I had to be able to find myself and stand by myself, because I also trained that with the guys, you know. I trained my opposition capacity, you know, that I wanted something. And even though he didn't agree, I developed a capacity to say, well, this is important to me, instead of just saying, okay, I'll just hop along then if that makes your clock tick, you know. And yeah, and then I was sending out the energy, this is me, you like it, you know, and I attracted that. I'm sure that's part of it.
And so there you go. And you're in this now you're talking on Facebook. Obviously you start dating. And were you dating other men at this current time? That did he request to let go of them? Was he involved with while you were dating a couple other guys?
No, that was 1st of January that year. I had started dating only one man at a time, because I had felt, you know, that dating three men was, in some manners, it was great, like I've kind of identified here, but in another manner, it was also a little superficial. You know,
right.
You jump from one place to the next and another conversation and this and that. It wasn't really possible to develop deep bonds with three guys, at least not for me.
Yes.
So I decided, no, I want one guy. And I also want to dare to develop a deep bond with him, because, you know, I found out by having this model that the guys were not the only ones who didn't dare. I was also a little scared of these deep bonds, you know.
Yes, yes.
Because, it is scary. It can be scary.
It is for a lot of people, especially if they've been hurt, you know. They just want to keep the walls up. But it sounds like this is so really powerful for experimentation, you know, for self. And an inquiry, a time of inquiry, experimentation, of building your own self-esteem up, and then just kind of gently working into, hopefully, you know, an incredible life partnership from learning about yourself and getting your power back.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was an existential move.
Yes,
it was not just dating. Yeah.
And have you had a lot of women now? Is it American women, a lot of women in Copenhagen? Is it just international now that are going through this experiment themselves? And are you getting lots of feedback? What have you been hearing?
It just came out in the States. So I was more, you know, I'm still working on it, you know, giving feedback to people and so on.
Yes. Do you have a Facebook page that people can chat with you and let them know their results? Have you created that yet?
Yes. I have a website called modernloveandsex.com. It's modernloveandsex.com. And then I have a Facebook page called my name, Pauline Middleton, author. But go on the website, because there is also a link to the first three episodes of the novel. So people can read that and see for themselves if they are curious to know more.
Right. Have you ever thought of, or maybe you do, you know, doing a workshop where they're going through the steps as you're teaching them kind of the book coming to life? Do you do something like that, or your workshop's kind of different than that?
No, it is going through the steps. But, you know, there's a big difference between going through the steps in a workshop and then actually going out there and doing it.
Yes.
So what I try to do is to do a sequence of three workshops, you know, where you are, okay, you are getting into the framework, and then you want to go do it. And then after 3 months, you want to go do a workshop again in order to evaluate your experiences and also hear what are the other single women's experiences.
And then
after another 3 months, it's good to have a third workshop, because then you will get assistance in evaluating your experiences and getting out the, you know, taking out the best of it. Because you were just mentioning that a number of people are quite hurt by love, and therefore they don't dare to go into it again.
Right.
And that
let alone
is,
with three people.
Something. Exactly. And it can come up in different manners when you're dating three people, you know. And I think it's too bad that so many people are actually giving up too quickly, because
yes.
they're like giving up because, oh, it was so hurtful. Sure, but it's also hurtful to be here needing and longing and not finding anybody.
Right.
So, you know, it's about dealing with the bad experiences you've had and putting them aside and using them as a jumping board to some good experiences instead of getting stuck in them and, you know, oh, this is no good.
Right, right.
So,
and on so your website, modernloveandsex.com, that's correct, right?
Yes, that's right.
They can look at all the different workshops and offerings and sign up. Do you do them online as well as live?
So far, I've only done them live. But what I do is I also do Skype coaching.
Great.
So, you know, if anybody wants to have, you know, just a one Skype session to kind of hear more about the model, we can do that, or we can do a sequence of sessions. And I have very good experience with that.
Yes, I do. I do all of my, well, I do some live, but I do most of my online live workshops online, and it's been really wonderful.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, when you come to Copenhagen, I want to hear more about that because
yes.
I want to improve in any way I can.
I know. It's wonderful. I mean, it's a way to reach people all over the world. And yeah, so I'll update you on how I do it and how it all works. And I would love to, you know, bring my students to you. I think that they would absolutely love doing this work with you. So maybe we can create something together.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I would love that.
Yes. And it's so funny. I can't wait to see what all of the areas are, because I feel like it was really interesting when I was dating online. You know, I would find, oh, this guy is such a great conversationalist, and this guy is a great lover, and this guy is, you know, and so I wasn't finding, you know, the all-in-one. But what I was doing is I was creating a list of everything that I loved as I was dating. Oh, I love when somebody can talk for hours, you know, about spirituality, and I love this and I love that. And I would write it in this one note in my book, my iPhone. And the partner that I am with now, he has them all. He actually has them all. So it was really interesting that he showed up. By what I did was I didn't focus on where these gentlemen were lacking. I just focused on all of their strengths and enjoyed those strengths and knew that this wasn't quite the one for me, but I was enjoying myself and having a nice time dating, but I knew that there was more. And so I would just write down their strengths and focus on that. And then that was like for about a year I was single, and then my honey showed up with all of them. So I think it is possible, you know, I really do think it's possible to find somebody with, you know, maybe not every single, I got to look at all 26 of these.
Yeah. But you know, I agree with you, but I think it's not possible if you go out with a list of 26 areas.
No,
but what you're telling me is that you were actually, and you were appreciating these guys that you met, whatever quality they had. And that is you being on a positive, appreciative note. And and that gears you towards meeting another man, where you may not see five or six of the areas out of the 26 in the beginning, but you can later on.
Yes, exactly. Wow. This is so fun. I'm so excited to meet you. I can't wait to meet you in person. We're going to be having coffee.
I know.
Sooner
That's
than we know.
So
in Copenhagen.
I know.
You know, it's so funny. I saw the Danish Girl. What a phenomenal film. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
So
and I just went
filmed.
To see an exhibition of their artwork, and it was amazing.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. So between that and Lucas Graham, who's my favorite artist, it's like, I feel like I'm going to go there and want to move to Copenhagen. Like I just have this weird feeling. So absolutely. Send me your have your publicist send me your email and all of that goody stuff, and we'll make a fun date to. And you know, my boyfriend is a videographer and a music producer, and I think that's what your husband does as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll have to have the four of us go out and have a blast.
Yeah, is he coming with you?
Yes, he is. We'll be there
excellent.
5 nights. Yes. So we'll have a fabulous
well,
time.
You know,
I can't wait.
I already now want to invite you home to our place for dinner, because we live in a great old house and, you know, just outside Copenhagen.
Yes, so yes. We would love
prepare
to.
Prepare your boyfriend for that.
Yes, I can't wait. He'll love it. He loves that. He's such a people person.
Oh, great.
All right, my darling. So modernsexandlove.com, guys, check it out. This is such an incredible system. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I greatly, greatly appreciate you, and I'm so looking forward to meeting you in person.
Well, thank you very much, Jennifer, for having me on your show. And I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Yes.
So, you know, and people, I forgot to mention that people can buy the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any other bookstore in the U.S. that they care for.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Have a great day. This is Jennifer Grace, and this is Real As It's Gonna Get.